South Africans struggling to find food are now worrying about fuel shortages as protests spiral out of control over the imprisonment of their country's former president. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. We'll have the very latest from South Africa shortly, but first, China's economic recovery from the coronavirus pandemic has hit a speed bump. Fresh data show the economy grew 7.9% between April and June from the same time last year. That was less than half the record growth rate notched in the first quarter. It's worth noting, though, that first quarter comparisons include a huge drop in 2020 growth due to pandemic-induced shutdowns. The BBC's Katie Silver has more on that.
China was the first country in and out of the pandemic, and it was the only major economy which didn't slip into recession. But that momentum seems to be tapering off, as higher raw material costs, supply chain disruptions, and new virus variants weigh on the economy. The country's statistics bureau says, quote, China's economy still faces external uncertainties. That's adding to questions over whether measures may be needed to boost the economy later this year. The data also shows the recovery is still tilted towards exports and investment. But there's a silver lining. Retail sales beat expectations, which may fuel hopes that domestic consumption is on the rise.
That's Katie Silver reporting there. Well, that better-than-expected retail sales data did help give the Shanghai Composite Index momentum. It ended up more than 1% today. Checking some other numbers, European benchmarks are little changed. The Stoxx 600 is down 0.4%. To Indonesia now, where Corindo, a major palm oil producer, has been expelled from the Forest Stewardship Council. It's the world's leading green certification body, and its move comes after a BBC investigation into Corindo's practices of clearing vast areas of Asia's rainforests to make way for palm oil plantations. The BBC's Rebecca Henschke has more on that.
The FSC tree logo, found on paper products throughout the UK and Europe, is meant to tell consumers the product is sourced from sustainable companies. But a BBC investigation in November found evidence to suggest Korean palm oil giant Corindo set fires on their land in a clear violation of FSC rules. An internal report by the Green Body obtained by the BBC also found the company destroyed 30,000 hectares of high conservation forests.
Rebecca Henschke reporting there. 25,000 more troops are ready to be deployed in South Africa today in response to widespread violence. That's a tenfold increase in the number of troops trying to combat widespread looting and outrage. The unrest was sparked over the weekend after the country's former president, Jacob Zuma, turned himself into authorities after failing to appear in court for an inquiry into alleged corruption during his presidency. That's the sound of people storming through a mall and storage facility in a suburb of the eastern coastal city of Durban. They're streaming out of the facility with as many boxes of goods that they can carry. One business owner in a nearby suburb told the BBC how his shop was stripped bare during those riots.
Yeah, I'm Gerard Pelser. I'm the owner of Bargain Basket. We've been here for 20 years in this building. This was our electric section there against the wall, extensions, locks. The first day, they only came through a small hole in the front, broke and stole a few watches, but later that night they came, they broke everything up open and they came in and looted the whole shop. We provide at least 120 people with a job, which there's some temporary people that's going to lose their jobs now. I think the market is so flooded now with free stock that if they're going to sell these electrical things on the road for half the price for the next few months, even if we open, our turnover won't be the same because there is free stock available. I feel the police was here. They tried their best in the numbers they had available. And the army, especially the army, came too late. But it's just not enough. So it's not that I feel the government let us down. I just feel they must definitely go back to the drawing board and make new plans to combat this type of riots.
Well, the South African government is trying to ensure there are no food shortages as a result of all the unrest there, but long lines are forming outside shops that are still open. The BBC's Vumani Mkhazi is in Durban with more. He explains how shop owners are trying to take matters now into their own hands.
So it's quite a dire situation for business owners who had to watch their business premises essentially being ransacked. The premier of the KwaZulu-Natal province, Sihle Zikalala, where Durban is located, said that over 46,000 businesses have been affected and that over $1 billion of stock has been lost during this particular riot. So it's just an indication of the economic damage that's been taking place for the entire country as well.
And just describe that for our listeners in the U.S., because this outrage that many feel goes sort of beyond President Zuma's jailing, doesn't it? It's more sort of poverty and opportunity, really, that's the driving force at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the imprisonment of Jacob Zuma was the catalyst of this particular protest, but it wasn't essentially the cause. Here in South Africa, unemployment is massive. 3 out of 4 young people don't have a job. 32% is the general unemployment rate. It is also massive. South Africa is one of the most unequal societies in the world. And obviously there's poverty. So we've got this triple threat. And therefore, Jacob Zuma's arrest essentially was the straw that broke the camel's back, essentially. Yes, there's been rampant looting, rampant opportunism by people who have been hungry and who feel that they've been ignored by their government for decades. I think this is South Africa's moment of reckoning, where government is going to have to fundamentally fix South Africa's broken economy.
The BBC's Vumani Mkhazi for us in Durban. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Well, from South Africa now to Cuba, where after nearly a week of widespread protests, the government there is now allowing visitors to bring food and medicine into the country without paying import taxes. Protesters consider that a concession after academics and intellectuals wrote an open letter calling for such a move to ease scarcity of essential supplies. Thousands of Cubans have poured into the streets in recent days demanding democratic change and better response to the coronavirus pandemic. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.